Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, you know, I was thinking about technology this morning. You know, it's just so much technology. It's so frustrated with it. And everybody's just connected to their computers and to their mobile devices and their mobile phones. You know, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's just the little dots are following us around everywhere. It's just amazing. So when I got up this morning at the sound of my iPhone saying, wake up, birds tweeting and waterfalls going, I thought, this stuff ain't bad. It says, wake up, it's time to wake up. And little birds tweet. Way every morning. It's like a perfect tweet, the digital tweet.
Right.
And waterfalls going. And
I got to get that alarm. Mine doesn't sound as nice.
Well, yeah. Well, 99 cents. Everything's 99 cents. Talking about the 99 cent store, today's technology. And you invent it once and sell it over and over again for 99 cents.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. And it wakes up and I thought, well, you know, it couldn't be that bad. And of course, then I realized I moved to the sound of tones. Like I'm in this one appointment and then you hear a tone and then I just moved. You know, technology says, okay, it's time for the next appointment. Boom. It's time for this, it's time for that. I was like, oh my goodness, I wonder how people remembered in the past.
Yeah.
But then I realized as I look back and studied, allegedly, John, that the information that crosses our lives in one day, all the data and information in one day that our great grandfathers, that much didn't cross them in their entire lifetime.
That's amazing.
They kept books on pieces of paper, their ledgers, the bank ledgers. You would go and they would write down, okay, Bobby Joe, he took $5 out of the bank and Suzanne deposited 26, and they would write it down. The guy with bifocals, you know, the little focal glasses, and he'd write it down. He'd close the thing up and he'd lock it in some big safe somewhere. And bank robbers, you know, sometimes would come in and they would steal the book. And they steal the cash. We can't think about it. There's no more grid for that. And I tell you, man, I say, you know, that's just, if we could just go back there and live in that arena. But we just happen to be living in this generation. But there is a time when you could just enjoy the sunrise. You go back and, you know, plow your fields, slop your hogs, milk your cows. Go down and have some biscuits and some freshly cut bacon. And we have to pull the hair out of the milk because it's real fresh.
There's a lot of work behind all that bacon and the milk.
But it's good work. You know, there's nothing like, I'm telling you, there's nothing like, you know, normal work where you're laboring and stuff today. But it seems all that kind of labor is going east. It's going to India. It's going to China. And it to survive in this economy where we're going, you're not going to be able to be a laborer in that context of that. No, I mean, you could say, I'm going to be a laborer. It's like, dude, if you're not going to do it in Mandarin, if you're not going to do it, you know, in India, it's just not going to work. You're going to have to move because the labor's cheaper. And you can have all the union protests you won't do, but it's going to be like, it's all going to move towards the lowest common pay for the particular product. And so then you have to actually get more knowledge and more skill and how to do things and manage multiple things. And it looks like the virtual market's here to stay. I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Yeah. That's what, you know, we thought at one time there's no way that how can everybody see the Lord return? How could everybody see the two prophets fall dad and prophesy in Jerusalem? Was like, I was just looking at Benjamin Netanyahu this morning. You know, talking about an earthquake, by the way. Supposedly, they're preparing for a possible earthquake coming to Israel.
Wow.
Sounds like another God momentous occasion about to happen with all this, to show himself mighty to the world and to Israel. And it's very possible. I mean, you can watch an intersection in Beijing, China, as traffic goes through the intersection.
Right.
And somebody pushes a button and they crosswalk and they go across. I guess it said walk. I don't know. It just said, I don't know what it said. Konnichiwa. That's Japan. Anyway, so you can see so much stuff. And it's just like, I'm tired of information. I don't want to know, how do we cut this down? How do we, and we've got to find the place to what matters most. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we're in this conversation that we've been in, to don't be overwhelmed by all the data, all the information. You know, speak to it. Mm-hmm. Force it to be in compliance to how you want to receive it. And if more comes your way than you can take in, you know, trust God with all of it, including what you're taking in, but just let it go like water's off a duck's back. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that you can take over a people is to inundate them with information and just pound them so much. And in there somewhere in the midst of an entire 2-hour speech, you go, and I'm going to kill you. I mean, you can put that in there and the people don't even hear it because they're like, yada, yada, like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, mm-hmm. wah, 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 wah. And you got to pay attention. Mm-hmm. It's like the terms of agreement we talked about with the beast economy. Click through, right. You know, accept, accept, accept.
What did I just accept?
Yeah, well, I don't think that people's even asking that. But if you are abiding with God, if you're hanging out with the Lord, he'll hang out with you, and you listen to him and hide his word in your heart, then you don't have to worry about all this information. Don't mm-hmm. take too much of it in. Mm-hmm. Take in what God is telling you and what is digestible for you. And that's why we have VFN Radio, to be able to give you more of a balanced. Somebody says, well, why would you talk about disaster? And the next thing you do, you're talking about something funny. Because the Lord says, I'll laugh at your destruction. It's not, we win. We're not mm-hmm. trying to, we already are coming from a place of success. We're not working for mm-hmm. a place of success. I mean, if someone takes my life, I win.
That's right.
Right.
And that's just it. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so what we feel is that, hey, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for God.
That's right.
That's right.
And so in this conversation that we're having is to encourage you to realize, you know, I need to find out what matters most. And I want to begin to bring on VFN Radio for you what we call value-based vision management, vision moments, to begin mm-hmm. to force the events of your life. Because time management is not about time, but people focus on time. It's 8 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 10 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 12 o'clock, I got to do this. And they go, there's just not enough hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's so ridiculous because nothing's based off hours. Truly, time management is not about managing time. It's about managing the events in your life. Mm-hmm. It's event management.
All right.
So mm-hmm. then you have to determine, when you go back and you remember, well, these sane ones are this way. When you go back and look in history, you go, wow, that was a wonderful gathering that we had. Wasn't that a wonderful conference? And do you remember, mm-hmm. Do you remember what so-and-so said? Well, maybe a melancholy person always go, do you remember 8:05? When so-and-so got up to speak, you know? But we can't, we're not, that's not how, we're not, no. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It didn't bother us either way.
Not at all.
So do you have any context, like an event that happened, you know, this time business is not getting it. And so, but we remember things by events. Mm. You remember first grade, you remember second, well, some of us remember first grade. As one kid says, you know, I thought I was the smartest kid in my second grade class. I was the only one with my driver's license. But thank God for the new system. They pass you whether you know anything or not.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
In some schools. But it's about event management. And this is such a, I'm telling you, if you understand this, your life is going to be so much more peaceful because you can only do one event at a time. You may think you can do more than one event at a time, but you can only do one event at a time. Well, now you can do a whole thing's halfway, but to think about it though, if you do this event well and you finish it up, then you can do the next event well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to do everything at the same time, not only are you not doing them well, but people around you feel like they are in well. You know what I mean? Not with a W, that it's really stressful to them. It's mm-hmm. chaotic and chaos and frustration, and they're sensing your frustration because you're always living in dread and regret. You're regretting what you didn't do or did do yesterday, and you're dreading what happens tomorrow, never living in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Go tell them that I am. So we got to learn how to live in the now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one way God does that, he does it through wisdom, telling us how to take what the knowledge and everything that's happening in life and does it through wisdom. And wisdom is the proper application of what we know. It's not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news you know. God's news behind the news and the events of your life. And so now, so you have, okay, well, I'll just take an event. I'll just take this event, and then I'll take that event. But the problem is, most low-priority, non-important events, such as checking your email,
right,
or reading something that's insignificant, they end up taking up that entire, your entire day. And you say, well, I've done a lot. It's sort of like somebody says, you know, I spent my whole paycheck, and I don't know where it went. Right. And you say, how could you not know where your whole paycheck went? Well, it's because I didn't pay attention.
Right.
Whatever showed up, I bought it.
Right.
And so a lot of people live their lives that way. And they don't say, I need to budget my finances, and I need to budget my time. And as life goes on, listen, you may know this if time's already going on for you, that you determine things, what you do, based on your energy. You know, just because you got a lot of energy right now don't mean I have a lot of energy. Our energy is going to have to meet somewhere.
Right.
And in that, we have to determine then, if all these events are taking place, I need to find out what matters most in my life. And if a man jumps out of bed, or a woman jumps out of bed in the morning at the sound of their new little iPhone alarm, and they look at the clock time, and they go, oh my goodness, I don't have time. Well, you never had time. Time was something you observed. You actually never had it. And then you jump up and say, I don't have time to, and you fill in the blank. Quite often, based on statistics and what George Barna is saying, what people are saying, I don't have time to read the Word of God. I don't have time to abide with God. I don't have time to pray.
Right.
I pray in the shower. I pray in the shower. I pray in the car on the way to work, which is good to pray all the time. But if you decided to watch, you know, Captain Kangaroo in the morning, or you know, Today's Show, et cetera, same thing. Instead of
Sesame Street.
It's Sesame Street.
Not an official plug, right?
Not an official plug, allegedly. The did I say allegedly?
Allegedly.
And so that you got to find out what matters most. And so if you didn't know that, you would actually leave your day. And this is what a lot of the church is doing. They're leaving their homes that God gave them, driving in cars God gave them, with tanks filled with gas that God gave them the money to get, not naked because God gave them the clothes they're wearing on the back, to go to a job that God gave them, only to begin their entire event called that day ignoring him and not acknowledging him, because they didn't understand that he's the one that gives increase. He's the one that kept you. He's the one that keeps us. And so what matters most is, spend some time with the one who gave you the stuff, honey. Spend some time, sir, with, if, you know, you're trying to put everything together and you're trying to make things happen and you're so stressed out. Listen, let God, credit God for what he's doing in your life.
That's right.
And one way you do that, we talk about that quite often, is honor God. Honor God with your first fruits, but first fruits of your day as well. You know, spend some time. Jesus met with the Father. Jesus met with the Father first thing, and alone with God.
Right.
You know, if it would have brought Peter, Peter wouldn't stop talking. So I'm sure he's like, y'all stay here. Peter, like, I got another idea. It's like, Peter. Pumpkin eater, right? So anyway, so here we are. How many people are starting their days that God gave them? He gave us the day, and God didn't even cross their mind. Didn't even cross their mind. Isn't that wild?
Wow, that is very wild.
But it's a real thing.
You know, you were talking about vision earlier, and I had a chance. I was in Brooklyn over the weekend. And walked a little bit on the Brooklyn Bridge. I didn't realize this, but the guy who actually put together the Brooklyn Bridge is very interesting. He actually suffered and got his leg amputated, got crushed by a boat. Well, would you believe that this whole construction of this bridge over many, many years, a lot of people died, a lot of people risked their lives just to get this bridge across that connects Manhattan to Brooklyn. His wife, was so in tune with his vision, and his vision was so clear that she that he was able to communicate the vision of how he wanted this build, this bridge built, and she would communicate it to the engineers. He, from his bed, he never left his bed, Pat. He never left his bed.
Wow.
And he was able to communicate with her. She was able to study the vision. She was able to learn some things about mathematics, and she was able to communicate with the engineers. And he never crossed the bridge. In fact, she was the first person to cross the bridge, but he wanted to make sure that he was able to complete what he started.
Mm-hmm.
But it all started with a vision. At that time, I think it was the largest bridge, freestanding bridge ever made. I know with cables and stuff like that,
right.
But it was pretty amazing. And that's the power of vision. That's the power of knowing what it is that you're going to accomplish and be able to manage that vision. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful that he was able to not even be on site. Can you imagine someone today trying to build anything and not being on site?
No, I couldn't.
And this is the engineer, and he's able to communicate with his wife, and she's able to communicate with others. It's really amazing. And wow. So it's interesting we're talking about all of this because it just takes that. It takes you to be able to have a vision, and you can only manage a vision. You can't manage time.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, what matters most in your time management, you have to find out, you know, what matters most. As a believer, as the one who says that I'm without you, God, it's not going to be good. I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need a Savior. I need a Lord, and you're the Lord of my life. Then my number one priority then, number one event in my life is going to be to acknowledge God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To relate to him. We call that abiding. If you don't abide and you need a plan, we have one at iabide.org. Request it free today. But I'm reading George Barna, and we're going to read more of this a little bit later on. But George Barna's book called Worn Out on Church Revolution, Finding Vibrant Faith Beyond the Walls of the Sanctuary. And he writes about the condition of the church, which we'll talk more about rethinking church in a little bit. But he says in regard to worship, he says the biweekly attendance at worship service is by believers on admission generally the only time they worship God.
Mm.
The bi-weekly, which is twice a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is 26 times a month, John Paul.
Wow.
A year.
Yeah. 26 times. Yeah, right.
Thank you. That would be great, 26 times a month. Yeah,
wouldn't it? Yeah. So 26 times a year, by golly, I worship God.
Wow.
But wait a minute. And then he says, you know, 8 out of every 10, which is 80%, 8 out of every 10 believers do not feel they have entered into the presence of God or experienced a connection with him during that time of worship. So now 26 times they did worship, 80% did not even experience him.
Mm.
And it's like, what are we doing in regards to our priorities? We're running our life, we're being so busy, and we're like the person who didn't set a budget for their finances. And at the end of our life, somebody's going to ask you the question, where did it all go? Where did you spend it? And the thing about it is you did this gift that God's given us, you have to manage it.
That's right.
You have to be a good steward of it. Not just money, the time that you have and what you do with it, because we're going to have to give an account. Listen, not only are we going to have to give account for the time that he gave us, we're going to have to give an account for everything we did, every deed that we did.
Mm-hmm.
People tell you there's a gospel being preached that, you know, that you're not going to have to account for that. But the problem that negates that is the words of Christ.
One small problem, one itty bitty thing here.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm with you in that. The fact that I abide and read the word, it contradicts what you're saying. And you need to quit saying that and leave people look to the word at least. And then not only do you have to account for your time, but you have to account for every word that you've ever spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, have you ever said some things that you regret?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll just pass it to you, Pat. What were those things?
We're all listening.
Anyway, so they it's like, oh, my goodness. So if I said those things that I regret, I'm going to take it to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to give account for it. I acknowledge it was wrong, and I'm going to make it right at the cross. But then, truly making it right is begin to say words that are right.
Correct.
Not just going every day and going, oh, forgive me for, you know, chewing my boss out in my heart or head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgive me for having these thoughts against my spouse or my parent or my
Forgive me if I like those repents. Forgive me if I did not.
Yeah, right. If yeah.
Did you just back out of that repentance?
Yeah, the if prayers.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Like, I'll give you if forgiveness, right?
Yeah, God's going like, if you'll actually acknowledge it, I will. And yeah, it's people's like, you think about it. God already knows already. Mm. Just spell it out.
Exactly.
But true repentance then is that the words that we're using that we're going to have, we say, you know, and I've had to go quite often, you know, Lord, please forgive Pat for those words. Lord, please forgive me for those words. I've done that. Mm-hmm. I had to do that. I mean, anyway, we won't get on that. We won't talk about that. But don't waste your time trying to collect words you spoke. Just regret them, repent for them, and move on. Because you can't take them back.
No, it would be nice. That's right. It didn't work.
Did I tell y'all? Never mind. And so, but if we have to give account for our deeds, so we have to give an account for our words. Don't you understand? We're going to have to give account for our life. What do we do with this life that he's given us?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you flatter me with your lips, but you deny me with your hearts, with your actions, with your deeds. And we're known by our fruit, what we do, not what we say. We're not known by our gifts. And so I want to encourage you to begin to think about, you know, what's valuable to you. Things are going to pick up. I really believe they're going to double, they're going to triple, and they're going to quadruple, and you're going to have this massive treadmill of events and data, and it's just going to come in. You're going to look like O's and ones are just going through, like the national debt's clicking off in your experience. But you can find peace in the midst of that if you took this thing called a gift that God's given you and us, time, mm-hmm. and force it to be in compliance by God's wisdom and begin to manage this thing so you can force it to be in compliance with the destiny God has given you. That's He's right. given you a destiny, but your destiny does not slap you upside the face. You have to grab it and force it to be in compliance with your vapor, your time that you have. And so many people are waiting for something to happen, and God says, no, I'll bless the work of your hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll bless you when you move in my wisdom. I'll bless you when you believe me and trust me with all this information that you think you got to have. You don't have to. You can let all that go and focus on what matters most, and I will take even the birds of the air. They don't worry about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you think about it. You have one life to live. Just one. Just one. And if you don't seize the moment, you know, there's a quote that says, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. Well, life is that opportunity. You know, some wisdom, I had a chance to speak with some folks throughout the years that have lived a whole lot longer. And just to hear some of the things that they have had to say about the things they've regretted doing and not doing because they squandered their time. You can learn a lot of wisdom from a lot of people out there.
Well, you had to go talk to somebody? You didn't have your own? I have my own.
I have my own too. But it's interesting. You know, you look at that and you say, wow, you know, I want to seize the moment. I want to make sure that I do all that I can do for God, for what he's called me to do in the time that I have to do it. And that's what we're talking about here today. I mean, it's very, very encouraging because it's at the end, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have the energy or you may not even have the help.
Right. And Jesus told Peter plain as day, he says, listen, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And so Peter goes, well, what about him? What's he going to do? And yeah, I'm sure he's pointing at John.
Yeah.
And John's going, I'm the one he loves.
The most.
I used to think, that's so touching. That is so touching. Then I realized, well, John, you wrote this.
Yeah,
you wrote this, John. And I'm not talking about John Paul. I'm talking about the gospel, the disciple John. And so Jesus looks at Peter and he says, there's going to come a day when someone's going to lead you around by your hand. It doesn't always. You don't always have all this energy and all this time. And I know it's hard to comprehend. If you're young, you're probably thinking, "Well, if the Lord comes back today, I have all this life to live and this type of stuff." It says, "Hold on, honey. It'll change."
That's right.
It'll change, and so there comes a time when it's just you can't. You basically have been poured out like a drink offering, and you can share the wisdom of your life. You can pour into other people's life like Elijah did, but you're not, you know, you can't make it to the top of Mount Carmel to call the fire. Can somebody wheel me up to the top of Mount Carmel? you know, put your teeth in, like, we're going to go out there for another day. I mean, it comes a time you just can't do that. So you only have a limited amount of time to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll spend eternity talking about what we did. And if we spend our life, our time, this thing that God's given us outside of our value system, and we'll be talking about that by God's grace at least once a week to encourage you in your life and your family and your business to understand that you can manage this thing called life, and you have to do it based on your core values. You're going to have to find out and tap into what is your core values. We've had people that we've worked with over the years that, you know, their core value, one of their core value was food. That was their food. that was food. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you understand this is not going to end well for you if food is your core value. I mean, you know, she was probably being very honest, or he, whoever it was, being very honest. And that's good. We don't want to be politically correct in regards to this is what our core values are supposed to be. I mean, if your core value is food, and it could be money, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but you need to really discover what your core values are. And as a believer, our number one value has to be, by the way, God. God can't be your number two value.
Imagine that.
If he's your number two value, then whatever is your number one value is your God.
That's right.
He says, make for yourself no graven images, no other gods, right, before him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have him at number two, then whatever you put at number one is your God.
That's right.
So a lot of times people are putting God at three or four, and they said, he's in there somewhere. He's in there twice a month where I don't get in his presence, but I do sing a song that I really enjoy and tap my feet to. But, you know, 80% of us don't even know that, we don't even counter him. He's like, I'm not showing up. I'm number three on your list, bro. You got two other gods, but when you get rid of those two other gods, money, position, spouse, family, house, things, stuff, nation, then if you'll do that, and then I'm going to show up. So I encourage you. We're going to be talking about that. Value-based vision management. So important to think about. I got to force this thing. Life is not about time. Life is about events. And managing time management is about managing the events in your life. We're going to have to grab this because it's just coming at us like a whirlwind. Events are just hitting us left and right. And that's the way to confuse us and cause us to get real busy with something that's insignificant, to move God from a first priority to a fifth priority and not even know it. And to end up, our entire nation falls because all of a sudden we said that it's more important to have America than to have God.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important to have a dollar that's valuable than to have God. It's more important to be able to have a nation than to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord over this nation, that God is the God of our nation. We're moving him down. We got to begin to say, whoa, what matters most? God has given you wisdom so you don't have to live your life on a busy body type treadmill. That you can take this thing God's given you, the gift of life and time and events, and manage them and force them to be in compliance to produce for you. I mean, you take soil, you think about it, you take dirt, and a man looks at this wooded area and he goes, you know, I'm gonna take that land and I'm gonna make a garden with it and I'm gonna eat from it. And somebody goes, it's a forest, it's got trees in it. No, I'm gonna take that land, I'm gonna force it to be in compliance with the will that I have for it. I'm gonna take dominion over it, right? Isn't that what God told us? He says, I want you to go take dominion over the earth. And I'm going to force that piece of land to produce corn.
Right.
And he has a vision. He can see the stalks. He can see the kernels. He can see him sitting down with his table, with his family, having a nice meal for corn. And somebody else is just seeing trees and weeds and everything else. But he takes that land and he forces it to be in compliance with his will that he feels he's supposed to be doing for that piece of land. That's how time is. It does stuff. If you've noticed yet, the people that are being successful in life, people that are making things happen are the ones that understand this, that you just can't stare and wish that piece of woods will turn into a garden. You're going to have to take a hold of it and get a backhoe. You're going to have to clear all those trees out. You're going to have to take all those stumps up. You're going to take all those weeds out. You're going to have to till the soil down. You're going to go through all these processes. You're going to have to go acquire seed And you got to have faith to believe that the seed that you're getting, that you put in the ground, is going to produce more than the money you just spent on the seed to be able to put in the ground. I mean, this whole thing works together.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can sit and eat corn from another man's field. And that's what so many have been doing. You're not doing what God has called you to do, mm-hmm. to be able to produce in your life. He said some seed fell upon the path and the birds came and took it away. Some fell upon the rocks and it didn't have any kind of roots because it was on rock instead of good soil. Mm-hmm. And when the heat came, when hard times came, it just burned away. Mm-hmm. And some seed fell among thorns, which is a field that was not taken and forced to be in compliance with the will of that seed. They didn't deal with the thorns, which are the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and money in view. But some seed fell upon the good soil. Uh-huh. That was plowed and it produced and was forced to be in compliance. And he says they produced 30, 60, and 90 times what was sown. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be more when we leave this earth than we were when we came to this earth.
Uh-huh.
You know, he tells us you have to be one that invests what God gives you. Uh-huh. And the one thing that he gives us is time.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And then he gives us this earth. And then he gives us talents, a talent or talents. And he says, don't bury it. Use it. Mm. Do something with it. You will answer and we will answer and I will answer alone before God. What did we do with what he entrusted to us?
That's right.
That's right.
To quit looking at everybody else and kind of, you know, averaging where you are. Listen, there is no curve at the throne of God. You're going to have to answer for what you did or didn't do it. And you can, and it's what you're designed to do, by the way. You're designed to believe God for something that is not and watch it manifest. You're designed to have vision and, you know, you're creating the image and the likeness of the creator. What does that mean? You're a creator. You can speak things into existence. I was talking to the doctor the other day and the doctor was telling me, he says, listen, you know, if you do this in regards to like placing a bone or something like that, he says, you remove the bone, the bones heal. Bones have the ability to heal. But if you put something in your body that's not bone, you lose the ability to heal.
Mm.
You think about that. Mm-hmm. And when we are understand that God's given us this great ability to create and to heal and to move and to, and we're supposed to be involved in this thing,
mm-hmm.
involved in this thing called life. And we're not supposed to sit back and let somebody else do it all.
Right.
There's something we should be doing. We're supposed to produce. And that's what he called us. He says, you know, the parable of the sower that Jesus tells us, which is Jesus telling us. And he says that the ones that bury their talents, the one that was fearful, you know, the one that was scared, the one that was thinking too much. He said, you know, I was too scared. I knew that you worked hard for this talent that you gave me. And you died for it, Jesus. So I buried the talent so that I wouldn't lose it.
Mm.
And he says, what? You wicked and lazy servant.
Servant, right.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm.
Not crazy, but it's in regards to contrast to what's being said today. It's like, nobody can invest that for you, bro.
That's right.
Nobody, you can't say, well, I'm living vicariously through somebody else's investment. Well, you might be eating their corn from their field, but you're going to be required by God to answer for what you did or didn't do, what God entrusted to you. And as an American, if you're listening to us in America, I know we have listeners from all around the world, but let me tell you that we've been given a lot, a lot. And the largest thing the church has been given is the First Amendment, which means no limitations to what you can do in God.
That's right. That's
which means no excuses, right?
Nope.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program